Coming up on this edition of Fast Talk, we talk with Danielle Trotta from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and NASCAR's newest television anchor, Adam Alexander, drops by for Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to our latest edition of Fast Talk. Doug Rice with Brad Gilley. Pretty soon we will be talking with Danielle Trotta from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and the guy that has the responsibility of being a new anchor for television, Brad Gilley, and Adam Alexander. Big, big job here that Adam's got coming up in front of him.
Oh, my gosh. First, I'm a big fan of Adam Alexander, the person, and equally as big fan, of Adam Alexander, the broadcaster. The Amazon portion of the season, which starts with the Coca-Cola 600 and runs five races, in addition to the five races, that'll be the TNT portion of the season throughout the summertime, which will end with the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Those 10 races, Adam Alexander will be the lead anchor with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Steve Letart as his two color analysts. And man, what a great combo that's going to be. And as NASCAR fans, we are all lucky to be able to get to watch that.
Brad Gilley, a little bit of racing news. There's a lot going on down in Welcome, North Carolina, as they're trying to recover some magic, put people in different spots, possibly add a third full-time cup team that won't be a full-time team, but it'll be a third team. There's a lot happening there.
Look, first of all, you go back to this time last year, and it almost seemed like whatever they were doing at this time last year, it wasn't actually getting ready for the 2024 season, because they didn't start the year with any bit of consistency. And what I mean by that, any bit of consistency in regards to Kyle Busch had different crew members going over the wall for about the first seven races. Then you got into the season and a crew chief change with Austin Dillon, and they moved Keith Rodden off of the pit box, put him in the competition role. They took Justin Alexander and put him back on the pit box for Austin Dillon. It was just a mess for a while. But I feel like what they've done now has really gotten ahead of themselves in the season. Richard Boswell, one of the crew chiefs at Stewart Haas Racing, he was with Chase Briscoe. He'll now be the crew chief for Austin Dillon. They brought over Johnny Klausmeier, who was also part of Stewart Haas Racing, a successful crew chief in his own right before moving into a competition role. He'll be in a competition role at Richard Childress Racing. Those two moves alone, in addition to what they've done with shoring up, I think are great moves. But then we hear that they take Danny Stockman and Chad Haney. They're the Xfinity crew chiefs from next year. But they also are moving up some other people. Andy Street, who is the crew chief for that number 21 of Austin Hill in the Xfinity series, he's going to run and crew chief a third cup car for select races at RCR. And it just seems like they're doing everything right during this non-racing season.
And that third car is probably going to be driven by several different drivers. It looks like Austin Hill will get his shot and probably what's going to be the 31. And maybe Jesse Love a little bit on the cup side of things too. So stick around here on Fast Talk as we'll be talking with Danielle Trotta and Adam Alexander.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listening and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race. So just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at goprn.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out-front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
We love doing the non-racing schedule part of these shows because we get to dive in and chat with personalities from the NASCAR universe. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Brad Gilley, working out of the PRN studios here today at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And our guest for this segment on Fast Talk is Danielle Trotta. She is a fixture on Channel 90, the NASCAR channel on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and she does a host of other media things. Danielle, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Well, two of my favorite people, Doug Rice and Brad Gilley, so it's an honor to be on with you guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic, and absolutely thrilled to have you here. All right, let's talk about your Monday through Friday job, first of all. Host of Sirius XM's On Track with America's crew chief, Larry McReynolds, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I will have to compliment you, Danielle, because a few weeks ago in Charlotte at the NASCAR awards ceremony, I saw Larry Mack after the awards, and I said, man, that is a really nice-looking bow tie. And it was kind of a green, blue, gold, a handful of colors in there. And he said, Danielle Trotta bought this for me not too long ago. And then bragged on his matching pocket square and everything. But since you and Larry have worked together, you have really become very, very close friends with him as well, right?
Yeah, we're super tight, kind of like you and Doug. And I think that chemistry is what really lends itself to the on-air product. Larry says it's no coincidence that throughout his 20-plus year career as a Cup Series crew chief, the drivers he had most success with were the ones he was also the closest friends with. And he likes to say he doesn't think that's by coincidence. I think there's a lot of people that can sit behind a microphone, but it's very hard to develop chemistry. I've realized in my 15 plus years in television and radio, and you guys know this as well, you either have chemistry with a co-host or you don't. And there's a lot of intangibles that I think that can create chemistry. And Larry and I are really opposite, right? He's a Southern boy. He'd call me a Yankee. Obviously, there's a bit of an age difference, different genders. He's a crew chief. I'm a media person. So we're very different on its face. You would probably never pair us together, but I'm so thankful Fox did on Race Hub and Xfinity and Cup and Sirius for many years, because whatever the magic is, it just seems like it works. And I'm honored to not only call him a co-host, but he truly is my best friend. We talk on and off the air all the time, and he's just a wonderful person. So it doesn't feel like work, but I always appreciate when the paycheck clears.
And Danielle, I've told you this, and Larry both, that in the time that you've been on that slot on Sirius XM Channel 90, the show has grown and you've developed into a radio personality, which is a different medium than being on television, don't you think?
Completely agree, Doug. It is completely different. And I've been honest about this. Radio has been the hardest job I've ever had. And television, for whatever reason, came very naturally to me. Not that I haven't had to work very hard at getting better, but it was natural. Radio was very difficult for me. And so I spent a lot of time listening to Brad, to Doug, to Howard Stern. I started when I was in Boston. They have tremendous radio talk personalities. And I would just sit in my car and listen to you guys. And I was always like, how do I get this good? It was so hard for me. The first 2 years, I know I was terrible. People have tweeted me thousands of times to let me know It was terrible in the beginning. I had to work really, and I obviously have nowhere near mastered it to your level. Both of you I have tremendous respect for, but it is, I think sports talk radio, honestly, it's one of the most difficult jobs in all of media.
Yeah, I would agree. Because again, it's not like you're doing a 1 hour weekly show, you're doing a 3 hour daily show. And that's a lot of content to come up fresh with. You know, I help clear something up that always seems to be a bit of a misconception. You know, you work on Sirius XM NASCAR radio. Now, that's not NASCAR's channel. That is the NASCAR channel. And you have never been shy of an opinion on anything. Have you ever felt compelled to say, boy, I better not go there because it doesn't toe the quote unquote company line? Clear up a criticism that occasionally comes through.
If you ask NASCAR, they probably don't think I shy away from my opinion, even when it may not be the most flattering for the sanctioning body. But I do think it's important to be authentic and true to yourself and true to your opinion. But I also think it's important to be respectful. And the analogy that Larry likes to use is, let's not stand out in front of the restaurant that we love and tell everybody on the street that the food is terrible. You know, that's probably not a great way to keep your business thriving and the doors to your restaurant open. And that restaurant above the door doesn't have my name or Larry's name, but it has NASCAR's name, and we love NASCAR. And we are in the business of covering NASCAR. So disrespecting NASCAR or telling people how terrible NASCAR is not very productive, nor do I feel authentically that that is true. Are there flaws in every business and every company and every sport? Sure. And if I don't agree with something or I see a way that it can be improved or better, I'm not shy about saying that. But I always try to be fair and balanced. And I think that's all that NASCAR's ever asked us at Sirius. And you both know this. Be fair and balanced. If you're going to tell this side, please tell our side. And I think they've come a long way in helping us do that by giving weekly visits with competition directors and other NASCAR executives. They drop by often because they know it's an extremely popular platform that fans listen to. But by and large, I think what we have is really good, if not great. And so I always enjoy celebrating that.
Well, you just mentioned the phrase fair and balanced, and anybody that watches time on cable news channels, that's often how Fox describes its news coverage. And like most people in the media world, Danielle, you have quality side hustles going on.
Yeah.
One of those involves Fox, and you've got a couple of other things. Tell us about some of your other media adventures that aren't necessarily on radio.
Yeah, I mean, we wrapped two seasons of My Dream Car on Fox Business, and that's an extremely fun show where we restore classic cars for deserving families and surprise a family member with it. That show kind of lent itself to doing some automotive contributing on Fox News and Fox Business. So if there's an EV story or another automotive story that really transcends the automotive world into the business or news sector, I'll hop on and do a segment with them. And Dream Car really scratched an itch that I didn't know I had, but car restoration and just love of classic cars. Brad, I know you're a big fan of two wheels. It really awakened something in me that's become a pretty big passion. So I decided to kind of spin off of that and join Mecum Car Auctions, which is the largest car auction in the world. We do 13 shows a year on Motor Trend, stream on Max, and we're on the air for 6 hours a day. We go to different cities across the country and auction off the most amazing cars. What I love about Mecum is you can find a car for 10 grand and you can find a car for 10 million. It really is an auction for everybody, no matter what your budget is. But I have seen some of the rarest and coolest race cars and street cars on the planet. So I actually really do enjoy that. And then obviously Sirius XM. And then I don't have to be at the races, but I don't know that I would want to cover NASCAR if I was just watching from my couch. So in between all of that, I try to attend as many races as I can on the weekends.
All right, so I'm really fascinated by the Mecum Auctions deal. And look, we all have our taste or what touches us when it comes to watching that and seeing a car that is the oh wow for us. So if Danielle Trotta had the checkbook, blank checkbook, you can get a car from this auction. Has there been anything that's just touched you, that's jumped out to you that you thought, man, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I mean, there are some sports cars, some little roadsters, some old Jag roadsters that are super impressive and just tiny and rare and I think exceptional. But my dream car is somewhere in the late 60s, early 70s, maybe mid 70s Scout. An International Harvester Scout looks a lot like these vintage Broncos that a lot of people are restoring now. That's become extremely popular in the aftermarket. But the Scout was kind of the OG of the SUV. It was intended to be, it's a European-made car, but it was intended to be a farm vehicle, basically. But it just has a ton of character. I'd probably do it in like a Carolina blue, kind of powder, coastal blue color. They're very rare and they're hard to find. I've only seen two in a year and a half at Mecum. And I'm usually texting my husband while he's at a racetrack somewhere and saying, can I bid on this? It's only X amount. And he has called me off, but I think he's scared that I do Mecum because he's like, one day you're going to come home with a car. I just know it.
One day you're going to drive home in that Scout.
I know.
You went into such detail there. I can tell that this is a big deal for you.
Yeah, kind of like, Brad, do you have a, because you know Mecum does a bike auction every year as well. Mm-hmm. Is there a dream bike out there that you really want?
No, there's not a dream bike out there that I want. There are probably hundreds of dream bikes. Look, any number of Harleys I love, old Indians or anything like that. I'm a BMW guy. And I really like a lot of the European bikes as well and some of those. So, you know, if I could find one of the old, you know, toaster style gas tank BMWs that is restored in pristine condition, you know, one of the ones that's dark blue with some white pinstripes on it, just an old Airhead, that would be one of the ideal things for me sitting in my garage.
I will keep my eye out for you, Brad, and text you if I find one.
Awesome.
And I think we need to give Brad and Danielle a little time now. After they've gone into in-depth of the cravings for their vehicles, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and chat about racing with Danielle Trotta.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
It is Fast Talk here on PRN. Doug Rice and Brad Gilley with you. Our guest is Danielle Trotta of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio on Track, which she co-hosts with Larry McReynolds. Danielle, once again, we have another female that's coming in for a full-time stint in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Tony Breitinger is going to drive full-time for Tricon Garage next year. 25 years of age. Setting the stage for people that don't know her, a glamorous-looking, beautiful woman who has been around the game now, I feel like, for longer than her age would allow, which is 25. prospect here? And can we finally have a female come into NASCAR and garner success? Because we've had, I don't know how many have given it shots, but yet no one's been able to stick.
Yeah, I think we're still looking to replicate the female star power and popularity of Danica Patrick since she exited the sport a few years ago. And I think Tony arrives right on time because there is a void felt that Haley Deegan has now left and pursued other opportunities in the IndyCar Light Series. So the spotlight is on Tony. And I just talked to her today, actually, when the news broke. She joined the show with Larry and I. She's 25 years old, spent 5 years in ARCA, has four top fives during that time, a handful of truck starts under her belt too, so trucks won't be completely new for her. She used the word excited about as many times as we hear guys say for Daytona Media Day before the start of the season. She is very excited to start. She's going to have Corey Heim, who was the star in the trucks last year with Tricon as a teammate, and also Tanner Gray, who has 6 years under his belt. So she'll have some veteran teammate leadership, I think, to lean on. She's shown some prowess. I mean, she has a couple top 10s and top 15s in her limited truck starts. Speedways and intermediates seem to be right now her bread and butter. She said she's going to have to learn to like road courses, even if she doesn't right now, because there's a handful on the 25 truck schedule. But I think the popularity and attention she has, you guys have seen her on Toyota commercials almost every single cup race for Toyota. She's also been in swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. She has been sponsored by Victoria's Secret. She attends their red carpet fashion shows. She has 2.5 million followers on Instagram and over 5 million followers on all of her platforms combined, which I've never seen even anyone in Cup, I think, with that kind of reach at such a young age. So she's really maximized her brand potential and caught the eyes of some big name companies. Like Toyota, Celsius, Sunoco are going to be her sponsors next year. So she's the complete package, as they say. Now we just have to see if she can deliver. And I try to keep a low expectation for rookies to just run all the laps, keep your truck in one piece and race people with respect and have a nice clean day. So the expectations for me are low, as they are for all rookies. But we asked her expectation today, and she said, my expectation, my main goal is to win Rookie of the Year. And to do that, you have to be pretty consistently, I think, running inside the top 20. So we'll see if she can do it.
I know I've talked to Wendy Venturini because Tony's driven the Venturini cars in the ARCA world. And Wendy says, don't be fooled by all the glamour, that there is a real race car driver there. She's extremely high on.
Well, I think that you can be both as a woman. And I think that's something that I really appreciate about Tony. I think it's fun to let your hair down and show your feminine side. I certainly enjoy that, dressing up and all the glamour. But I think I can, you know, be a rough and tumble girl in a man's world of sports media as well. We can wear many different hats. And that's something that Danica really shied away from. Danica did not want to play into the female factor. She actually tried to cover up, I think, some of that femininity. And she would say, I don't want to be a female driver. I want to be a race car driver. Well, and she actually tried to be one of the boys.
It would benefit the sport.
Yeah. And Tony approaches it differently. I think she really sells her femininity. And maybe that's a cultural shift in the decades since we've really had Danica. Maybe that's embraced more. And Tony just feels more comfortable in this social media environment, which really predates, I think, Danica's popularity. So they have two different approaches, but I really respect both. I don't think one's right and one's wrong. But I think Tony really rides that balance extremely well.
Yeah, and I agree with you. We wouldn't question it or second guess it if it was a guy showing up on the cover of magazines or anything like that. It's just like, oh, you know, here's an athlete, so why should we feel any different? And I do agree on the side of the Danica thing that Tony is a racer. You know, she is a female racer and gets a little bit different exposure, but that's what I think is going to be exciting. I'm glad you brought up the Corey Heim side of it as well, because the team for which he's driving has had a lot of success with Tricon Garage, and to see what they've done with Toyota development drivers and, you know, to see how David Gilliland has helped really bring that team into fruition to what it is today. This is actually a really good ride, but with a team who can develop drivers. And I think that's a more important thing as well, Danielle.
And doesn't she have such a fantastic owner? I respect, and like David Gilliland, the more that I talk to him as a team owner, we all covered him as a driver. What an upstanding, wonderful, patient man who, a lot like Kelly and Dale at JRM, really wants to help build the future of the sport. And I think he builds extremely fast and reliable trucks at Tricon. And that's something that's really, I think, an important commitment for him, is having top-notch equipment, which will be in, as you said. But I think helping mentor young people and being a former driver himself, whether it's Corey Heim, whether it's David Gilliland, whether it's the backing of Toyota, it's great equipment. She has no excuses. She's got to deliver. And again, I'm keeping the bar low rookie year. I'm sure this is going to be a multi-year effort, as Ford gave Haley Deegan several years in trucks, and then before she moved to Xfinity. So I think Tony's going to get several years to develop. And unfortunately, I think women are highly criticized in NASCAR because they stand out amongst the men. So sometimes this white hot light that men don't get, you know, listen, somebody's got to run 25th or 30th. I don't see every, like, the media hopping on and being super, super critical of guys that run in the back in trucks. But if a woman does it for more than a year or two, it's like, oh, she can't hack it. She's never going to make it. And I think we need to be patient, as patient with young females as we are with young men. So I hope she's given a year or two to just learn before people jump down her back. Let's see what she can do, you know, in her rookie season, but let's keep the expectations low and not be hypercritical.
Would truly love to see her have real success. I think one of the keys for growth in this sport would be a female driver, or two, having real success, because I know that that would open a lot of opportunities for other fans to sign on to this sport. Danielle, give me a name of a driver that underperformed. We're talking Cup here, last year, but you see a path forward for them in 2025 to be a legit player again.
Somebody that underperformed.
I'm hitting you cold with that.
But. Yeah, I think Bubba Wallace certainly underperformed. I think not making the playoffs. I think Kyle Busch underperformed, not making the playoffs. And probably, if we're honest and we go back to the start of 24, we probably thought they were going to, because they both did the year prior. So I think that was a bit of surprise that they didn't. So Bubba's getting a new crew chief. Kyle Busch is keeping his crew chief, Randall Burnett. Randall said they never even contemplated splitting up. They've made a lot of new leadership change hires over at RCR. I think RCR as a whole needs to take a major step and become competitive. We are quickly seeing, like, Kyle Busch's best years fade into the sunset, and I want to see Kyle win again. And I want to see him, as one of our stars and our goats, find victory lane. So, you know, I think Bubba is probably motivated by the fact that Tyler Reddick made the championship four and he didn't even make the playoffs. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow. So I would look for a you know, highly motivated Bubba. And I just hope Kyle Busch can find victory lane and just find his way back to prominence. I think our sport is bigger and better when our stars perform. The Yankees need to win. The NFL's better when the Patriots and these big teams are winning. We need our stars winning. So can RCR make Kyle Busch a winner again in 25?
I like that. Yeah, as a Cowboys fan, the NFL hadn't been good since the 90s, yeah. By the way. But you know, it's funny, and we pick on Doug a lot because he's the first one to take someone out of victory lane for the rest of their career. Look, I think it would be great to see Kyle win. I would have loved to have seen the streak extend to 20 years. I also think it could be a great comeback story should he be able to do it, maybe even do it multiple times in 2025. Is he done winning?
Yes.
Kyle Busch?
Told you.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Doug. An ice-cold take. Wash it down with an ice-cold Coca-Cola. My goodness.
I can do that. you had 36 races this past year. And I like Kyle Busch. I'm not dumping on him. I like him. I enjoy chatting with him. But show me where they made the progress at any point last year outside of the mythical two races after the Olympic break, that it looked like they were going to win races.
Well, he had 3 second place finishes this past year, and one was a photo finish at Atlanta, which was like one of the closest finishes in NASCAR history.
And so what did Daniel Suarez do after that?
blown win of the season, fair, but how different your season looks if you win a race.
And I would love to see it. I want to see it.
And Daytona and Darlington were other second place finishes. So he's come. I will say this about a champion. Jimmy Johnson. I don't know that we'll ever see him win again. Kyle Busch, I'm not ready to say that yet.
I think it's a long shot, but I want to see him back in victory lane.
Kyle Busch's finishes, like, 3 second place finishes this past year, and you don't think he'll ever win again? He came so close.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Could be awesome when it happens, though, isn't it, Danielle?
You baited me into that, Brad Gilly. You know you did. Yeah.
I didn't even have to set the hook. You took care of that on your own.
Danielle, always a pleasure to chat with you, and we will see you down the road shortly. Thanks for joining us. It's always good to chat with you.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmy Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmy Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. Very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
It is Fast Talk from PRN, coming to you from the studios of the Performance Racing Network, located on the first floor of the lovely Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Brad Gilly, and it's nice when good things happen to good people, and that happened recently to our next guest, longtime motorsports broadcaster Adam Alexander. Adam, thanks for the gift of your time and insight. And for folks that don't know, tell us about the recent announcement concerning your career.
Thank you, Doug and Brad. It's good to be with you. And yeah, very exciting. A couple of weeks ago, we found out that everything was official. And I'm looking forward to joining Amazon Prime and TNT, Turner Sports, in 2025 and beyond. And I'll be sharing the booth with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Steve Letart. So very, very excited about that opportunity as we enter this next wave a broadcast and media rights in 2025. And those are two outstanding broadcasters and driver and crew chief that meant so much to the NASCAR world on the competition side and have now transitioned quite nicely to the media side. And really, really, excited about getting after it with them in 25, starting in May with the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, I want to go back further, much further, Adam, because a lot of people know you from watching you, and there are a lot of us who know you from listening to you before that as well with the Motor Racing Network. Just give us the Adam Alexander career story.
I grew up in Indianapolis, so when motorsports was happening and it was a part of my life, it was always IndyCar, but I was not someone that followed it incredibly closely as a kid or even early in my career. And then my first job out of college was in Evansville, Indiana. And Evansville's right on the Ohio River in southern Indiana. And it's about 30 miles west of Owensboro, Kentucky. Owensboro's right on the river too. So literally it was across the river and about 30 miles west of Evansville's about 30 miles west of Owensboro. And so anyhow, when you worked in that television market, NASCAR was a thing. And when I first got the job there, Darrell was still racing. You know, Michael was reaching the peak of his career. Jeremy Mayfield was a player and winning cup races. The Green brothers were championship contenders on the Xfinity side. And so it was very important not only to tell the local story, because motorsports locally at the tracks in the area was very big and very popular, but you had to cover NASCAR. And it was through that that I met some people in motorsports, and someone said, hey, you ought to start doing some track announcing. And I did. And through that, got an audition at MRN Radio. And you know, everything's kind of just worked out. The timing's been amazing. But it really was almost by accident that I got into covering motorsports. But once I got in, I enjoyed it. And the opportunities were there. And really, it's just been an unbelievable ride. And the opportunities have been far more than anything I could have ever imagined.
So, Adam, to follow up on Brad's question, what all have you done? Give us your sort of touchstones in the world of NASCAR broadcasting.
So I started out at MRN Radio doing the Truck Series stuff in 2000, did some races on pit road. I actually auditioned as a turn announcer because my background really was in play-by-play. And then their opportunities were on pit road. So they said, hey, could you do some pit road stuff? So I did that. And then eventually ping pong back and forth between pit road. I did some turn announcing as well. And then even got a couple of chances to go up to the booth and call some races in the trucks and Xfinity Series, Busch Series at the time, obviously. And all that was happening early 2000s. And then in 06, Speed Channel reached out and said, hey, you know, could you do some races for us on pit road? And so I did a couple of races in the fall of 06 on pit road for Speed Channel in the Truck Series, and then eventually transitioned to doing all TV stuff in 07. And I've been in that Fox family really from 07 until now.
Yeah, I want to talk about what you had done most recently on the play-by-play side of things, and that was with Fox on the Xfinity side. And, you know, in talking about when your deal was announced with Amazon Prime and TNT, hear a lot of people say, man, you know, one of Adam's really cool strengths that we saw over these past couple of seasons is you literally having different analysts who weren't TV people, who were literally coming out of the car after practice and qualifying to work Xfinity Series races with you. So what do you take away from that? Do you have any stories you can share?
Well, first of all, I would go back 10 years and I would say that when the idea was presented to me to move into the booth at Fox and to be their play-by-play guy for the Xfinity Series, I was very, very excited. And then Eric Shanks, the president at Fox Sports, laid in front of me, we're going to bring up different analysts every week. And I'm like, this might be the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I didn't tell him that, but I was quite nervous about what was in front of us because, as you guys know, so much about successful broadcasts is that chemistry you develop away from the booth, and you don't just show up and go. But in a sense, that's what we were going to have to do. And honestly, you know, Brad, it's made me better. I think it's changed my approach to the booth, and that is showing up, not only being prepared. You have to be prepared, as we know, but it really brought me to a place of let's have a conversation about what we're seeing, as opposed to shouting facts and figures about what we read this week in releases. And it changed my approach from being what I would say was a very fundamental broadcaster to being more of a conversationalist and being forced to having that conversation with those around me. And I'm not saying I didn't understand that was important, but I'm not sure that I was as good at it as I needed to be. And this forced me to go down that road. And overall, it's just changed my philosophy and everything that I do. And I feel like that's really helped me go through a tremendous amount of growth. And, you know, our stage manager, Andy Jeffers, over the years is really good about every time we get ready to do one of those booth on cameras, he snaps a picture or, you know, a handful of pictures. And then after the race, I would always get, you know, a nice, you know, load of pictures from him. And I save them all. And I'll tell you, it's just really cool to go back and reflect the number of different personalities that we've had in the booth. And everybody, you know, kind of brings a little bit of a different approach and different mindset. But I will say that as time goes on and I look back at the last 10 years, it'll be some of the most rewarding pieces of my career is going up into the booth and sharing that time with all those different drivers.
I mean, I guess a prisoner of the moment, you know, I think about Joey Logano coming up there and Ryan Blaney and Kevin Harvick. Have you had one or two people that came into the booth that worked with you that when they got done, you went, oh, wow, they were a lot better. They kind of outkicked their coverage than what I thought I might get from them when they showed up.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, and you talk about me being prisoner of the moment, but it's someone that came up fairly recently and they've only done it one time, and that was Ross Chastain. And I didn't know what to expect from Ross. And it wasn't that I didn't have high expectations. I just was very uncertain in what my thoughts were on how he would land and how he would move into this role. And he admitted, I'm going to be so nervous when we do that on camera. I mean, he just talked on and on about how nervous he was going to be. And ironically, he came up at Texas earlier this year, which was that unbelievable finish with Sam Mayer and Ryan Sieg that, you know, was a photo finish. Couldn't call it at the line. It was so tight. And I was just taken aback at his knowledge and his ability to tell stories about every team in the garage. And so you go in with these unknowns of how's he going to handle it? And in a way, he stole the show with his tremendous knowledge of all the levels of the competitors that were in the field that day and team owners and crew chiefs and crew members and so on. And I remember so many times during that broadcast, Joey and I making eyes because Joey and I had worked together so much and just being wowed by his knowledge and what he brought to the show. So, you know, Ross is one end of that that probably surprised me just because I didn't know what to expect. And he was so good. And then the other side of that, when during COVID, you know, we did a lot of races from the studio. In fact, everything we did was from the studio. We didn't travel to the track once COVID hit. And that provided an opportunity to get Kurt and Kyle Busch together. In fact, it's the only time Kyle ever did a race with us that I remember anyway. And to have those two together on an Xfinity race at Bristol was really, really cool. I think it was either a Friday or Saturday night race. And it was the weekend, I believe, in June when we raced Bristol, the same weekend as we had the All-Star race there. And Kurt and Kyle came in and did that race on the Xfinity side. So that was one that you entered with. I mean, I was nervous. I'm like, man, I have no idea what this is going to be like. And that was pretty cool.
Well, I can echo that with Ross Chastain. He worked a couple of PRN shows. First time we had him on was the Josh Williams getting out of the car.
Yeah.
At the start finish line before the race was over. And Chastain immediately knew his entire history. Everybody had ever driven for, every car he'd ever been in. And we're sitting there looking at ourselves going like, okay, this is all good. So, all right, we'll continue our conversation with Adam Alexander here on Fast Talk.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from, Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at speedwaycharities.org.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Brad Gilley along with Doug Rice. We are joined by Adam Alexander from Amazon Prime and TNT moving forward. And Adam, let's dive into what you have ahead of you. Steve Letarte, Dale Earnhardt Jr., two people who both have experience working in the broadcast booth. In fact, for Steve Letarte, he's going to do about two-thirds of the season or more next year. But what do the three of you do to prepare to get together to build that chemistry?
I know the conversations have already started behind the scenes, and we anticipate getting some time together, you know, to formally watch video and do races, you know, just kind of a rehearsal, if you will, just to figure out everyone's cadence and get comfortable with one another. And, you know, I touched on this briefly in our earlier segment, but to me, it is so important to get together and do dinners and do lunch and hang out away from the broadcast booth. That's when you really develop the familiarity with each other's personalities, the give and take, and you find out the information you need behind the scenes so that when you're on the air, you can properly set one another up and you kind of know what the boundaries are of where to go and what everyone's comfortable with and what they may or may not want to talk about. So I feel like we'll spend a decent amount of time together. I'm thankful that Amazon and Turner shared the philosophy of let's get the same three people to do the both do the booth for both parts of that schedule, because if you did five and five, you know, five races really is just not enough to get comfortable with each other. And so to have that 10-week run in the summer when you combine the coverage of those two networks, to me, will be very beneficial to all of us to carry 1 week to the next and have that run of 10 consecutive weeks to really put together some solid chemistry. And you know, you look at the races that we have, some really, really good events in that section of the schedule. So across the board, a lot of work to do between now and then, but I feel great about the attitude that everyone's bringing to make it what it needs to be.
Will the rest of the on-air crew remain the same as you move and transcend from Amazon to TNT?
I don't know that. And I'm honestly not sure where Amazon and Turner are in that process of figuring out, you know, pre-race folks and pit road and the rest of the lineup. I know, you know, you hear names and you have conversations with people that, you know, are going through the process, but I've not officially heard who will be doing everything. And if that philosophy of personnel is carried, you know, beyond the booth, or if that's just something they wanted to have for those that are calling the race, I'm not 100% on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the other part of it is, you know, especially with the Amazon Prime, a true departure from what we've had in traditional broadcast. But it's not like Amazon Prime is new to having play-by-play events. And is it fair to realistically say, Adam, that this is no different than what you turn your television on to get? It's just now you go through an app.
Exactly. And I would say that probably the biggest, you know, feather in their cap is what they've been able to do the last couple of years and the growth that we've seen with Thursday Night Football. And that, to me, if you can make it work in the NFL, it makes it okay anywhere. And when you look at the trends of where sports television and sports broadcasting is going, more and more events are being streamed. It's just a part of what we are doing now and where we are going. And I felt pretty confident if you go back a couple of years with the anticipation of where is NASCAR going to go with their new media rights deal. I felt like it was really important, just me thinking out loud, to have a streaming partner. Because if you had entered this 7-year window in 2025 without one, now you go 7 years where you really run the risk of being behind if you don't have a solid partner. And by not only finding someone in the streaming world, but doing it with a group that has already laid a strong foundation in the sports world by having the NFL component on Thursday night, I think it will be a really strong relationship. I think the fans will become accustomed to going there and finding the races. They'll have practice and qualifying for Cup throughout the first part of the year, so it won't be like you just have to find them for those five races. They'll have a presence well before that. And I would also say that in being in meetings, being around Amazon Prime and Prime Video, and just hearing their approach and their philosophy, they are very respectful of the space that they are getting into and the way business has been done. They want to do it the right way and make sure they present the product in a way the fans can appreciate, understand, and respect. So I feel like across the board, they are doing their business the way you need to do it to come in and be new and send the right message.
I want to flash back a little bit to last year. We referenced your time covering the Xfinity Series. And the fact that Justin Allgaier was able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat out at Phoenix and finally win a championship, how satisfying a story is that in sports?
You know, it's really great because if you look at Justin, you know, no one has been more consistent as a winner in putting multiple wins on the board in the last 10 years in the Xfinity Series than Justin. And he's done it at all types of racetracks. And, you know, just when you think, well, he might not win here, he checks the box. And the organization at Junior Motorsports has had such a great history, but a good portion of their success really has been because of what Justin Allgaier has been able to do in recent years. And so many times he was a fixture and you just anticipated he would make it to the championship four. And it stands to reason, the more times you get there, the more opportunities to win it, eventually it's going to happen. And it never had. And then you start to wonder, oh my gosh, is it going to happen? Can he get it done? And when you look at the weekend in Phoenix in 2024 and the way that unfolded, there were many times really up until the final stage where you said, once again, Justin Allgaier is going to fall short. And then, boom, this miraculous comeback from, you know, not only the practice crash, but the penalties during the race. And to be able to recover from that and win is awesome for Justin and in a fitting way for him to bring home his first title because he truly had to go out and earn it. And I think we saw not only in his emotions in victory what it meant to him, but we saw the celebration from his car owner, Dale Jr., and what it meant to him as well, for not for him to win as an owner, but what it meant for him to be able to share that moment with Justin, who had won as a driver, and that was really neat to see.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the flag, the championship
right. Flag.
It was such a great storyline throughout it all. Hey, we get to come back this next year, all three of our champions defending their title. Ty Majeski in trucks, Justin Allgaier in the Xfinity Series, and Joey Logano in Cup. And you know, how can we not ask you about Roger Penske for what he's meant to motorsports for so long? Three in a row and counting right now, might be fair to say. What do you think?
Well, you know, you guys have been around this as long or longer than I have, and you understand the history and the perspective of Roger Penske, and not just what he's meant to NASCAR, but what he's meant to motorsports. And I just go back, it doesn't seem like that long ago, when you could ask the question of, is Roger Penske ever going to win a NASCAR championship? And can he win a Daytona 500? And, you know, some of these things that had seemed to escape him. And in 2012, rather, Brad Keselowski goes out and gets it done, his first Cup championship. And now he's won five of the last 13 Cup championships. You referenced the fact that they've won three in a row. And then I go to what Joey Logano has meant to that organization and the number of wins he's put on the board and the big wins and in the big moments and the playoff races and so on. It was a great night to celebrate them when we did that in November for the championship night in Charlotte. And I would anticipate with Joey coming back, you know, he's always a threat. And Ryan Blaney with back-to-back championship four appearances, just missing out on back-to-back titles. This is a group you got to worry about. Maybe not in February, March, and April. Maybe not in May. But come August, September, October, November, don't sleep on Team Penske because they just seem to know how to turn it up.
On a show earlier, we chatted with Mike Joy, and he feels like the dynamic of the season has now moved to the round of eight, that it's not about getting into the playoffs. It's about getting into the round of eight and those last four races of the season, and that's where you have to show up.
You know, it's funny, Doug, you bring that up. We used to do, when we had the Race Hub show on FS1, we used to do this playoff piece every 3 or 4 weeks, and we would predict who is going to advance, you know, and we would start once we had the playoff field, and we would say these are the drivers that go to the round of 12 and the round of 8 and the championship 4, and then we'd eliminate 4 and we'd come back and do the same thing again. And we would do that through championship weekend every few weeks. And it was a fun exercise. And I remember one of the lines that I always used is, for me personally, I felt like the playoffs begin when you reach the round of 8. And that's, we know, making the playoffs is a great thing. Advancing from round 1 to round 2 is very difficult to do. And we say goodbye to 4 worthy drivers every year, it feels like, in that opening round of the playoffs. But if you can make it to the round of 8, that is the cream. Those are the ones that absolutely have a legit shot to win a championship. And we know what those 3 races making it to the championship race are all about. In particular, that final elimination race that in recent years has been at Martinsville, and how difficult that is.
Well, we're happy for you. Excited you got named to this position. Glad that the public now knows your place in the hierarchy. Enjoy the non-racing season, and we'll tune in down the road. Can't wait.
Yeah, we can't call it the off season because there is no off season. We'll just call it the non-racing season. I like that. Doug, Brad, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Adam Alexander, catching on Amazon and TNT.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5-2-Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into 5 motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got 4 wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5-2-Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn 3. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically with the 2 youngsters for JGR. Now to the veterans that are occupying the top 2 spots in turn 3.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into 1. Truex down low. Hamlin up high.
3 wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
I want to thank again Danielle Trotta and Adam Alexander for the gift of their time to chat about their seasons that are upcoming and their roles in the broadcasting world. And Brad, I know we talked about this a lot on the show, but the fact that I think right now there are 3 really capable anchors on the television side, and I'm giving my opinion on this because I have one. Mike Joy is probably the platinum standard. I really like what Lee Diffie brings to the table. And I think once Adam gets exposed more on the Cup side, people are going to really appreciate the quality broadcaster that he is.
Yeah, I hope so. I think he has both the strengths of Mike Joy and Lee Diffie in several different ways. But most importantly, Adam Alexander as an anchor, as the guy who's up there directing traffic, is going to do and is one of the best at being able to get the most out of his co-anchors and color analyst. And with Steve Letard and Dale Earnhardt Jr. there next to him, what a wealth of knowledge. I think we're in for a real treat.
And by the way, just as a personal footnote here, I will be continuing at least for 2025 as the host of Fast Talk. So guess what? We'll be back this time next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.